We are in Gemara Sanhedrin Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 17a. Two lines from the top. Machlokas the Rabbanon, and I believe it was from Shimon, whatever. How many people have to be on the Sanhedrin? 70 or 71? The Gemara brought one proof for the Rabbanon, and we saw how Rav Shimon rejected it. So now we're going to try to bring another proof that it's 71. Okay, so second line from the top, Yitzayin Amad Aleph. For Rabbanon, we'll come back with another. The first proof was not conclusive. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'nos'u itcho b'maso umaton. And they, the people you choose, shall bear with you the burden of the nation. Well, what does that mean? They will bear with you the burden of the nation. Itcha, itcha, with you means va'at bahadayu, and you together with them. So obviously you're carrying the burden of the nation. That means you're together. So he's part of the court. It must be 71. I'm sorry, it was Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, no, I have enough. That's not conclusive. Rabbi Yehuda says, meaning they're going to be with you, it means itcha bedomim lecha. With you means who are like you, meaning to say you have the right credentials, with the right pedigree, no physical blemishes. So they will carry the burden with you, meaning with you, that means they're like you. Okay, so that's, so Rabbi says, okay, if that's the case, so they're going to carry the burden. Itcha, itcha, many times it means with you, but it means like you. They're going to carry the burden together, like you.
Wouldn't that be kamokan?
Well, yeah. Well,
we don't say.
Yeah, I hear. I hear what you're saying. It's not the pashup shot. It's dochik. I grant you that. Okay. It's a dochik. Well, if you really held it was only 70, you have to find a way of figuring out the pasuk. Now, the one wants to, okay, if you're going to say that, so how do you know? So now, if Rabbi Yehuda's learning that, you know they have to have the right pedigree and not physical blemishes. How the rabbi's going to learn that? They're not using that pasuk. For Rabbanon, and where are they going to learn that they have to have the same pedigree and stuff like that? From another pasuk, me, from the words it says, v'hakel me'alecha, and it will be easier for you, v'nasu itcha, and they shall bear the burden with you. Okay? With you, meaning the following. The term with you teaches that the judge of the lesser Sanhedrin, this is lesser Sanhedrin now, must be like Moshe, of pure pedigree and free of physical blemishes. This is a proof for lower courts. Lower courts. This pasuk is about lower courts. And they're going to be with you. Well, if the lower courts have to be like Moshe, certainly the higher courts have to be. V'yalfina Sanhedrin Gedol and Sanhedrin Ketana. So we learn the great Sanhedrin from the small Sanhedrin. Okay, be that as it may, we have machlokes on these two signs. Okay, now the Gemara, while we're discussing the topic, how did we get to these 70 judges? Okay, so it's a machlokes. Is Moshe the 71st or not the 71st? But how do we get to the 70 to begin with? Tell me about a now very interesting brisa. It says like this. The pasuk says, "Vayisharu shnei anoshim b'machana." It says, "And two men, and these two men are Eldad and Medad. They remained in the camp." Okay. Now, what does that mean? You know what I don't like about this app? It only gives you the one pasuk. I'd like the whole context. You know, this is what I don't like about this app, shall we? It only gives you the one pasuk. If you want to get the context, it doesn't give you a
hyperlink to the one pasuk. That's
the thing. I understand.
Maybe they should have said, okay, we'll do the one before and the one after.
No, I'm just saying, well, what's right. What does back mean? No, back just...
Right.
Ah!
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, once you're in it, though, can't you go back? Down?
I don't know. Split. Let's see.
Doesn't it take you
two? Okay. Okay, forget it. I want to get the Hebrew and the English like I had on the other one. So the other one, you got the Hebrew and English. It just took a while to get there. Anyway, let's just go back here. Oh, this is... I'm sorry. I'm going to have to... It's now making me... This is what I learned with Mayor. Ugh, the whole thing froze. Let's try it again. Sorry about that little technical glitch. One second. All right, we're back to where we are. Okay. Vayishru shnei anashim amachana. Two people were left in the camp. All right, we just have to go with what we have. Okay, what does it say about them? Two men remained behind in the camp. The name of one of them was Eldad. The name of them was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. The Shekhinah was on them. They had been among the recorded ones, but they had not gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. Okay, this is in the context of where Moshe was set. Hashem said, go take 70 guys. Okay, so there were two guys. No, I don't want that either.
I'm not sure I understand.
Okay. I have to be quiet or she's going to talk again. Okay, I gotta get used to this. Vayishur shnei. No, what's going on today? It's like making me crazy. I'm stuck. 1 minute. Okay. There were two men left in the camp. What does it mean they remained? There's a different opinion what that means. Yesharim, some say these were the two leftovers. Bekalfi nishtairu. They were left over. Their names remained in the box. Okay, as you'll see what this means in a minute. All right, what's going on? When Hashem said to Moshe, Asfali Shivimish, gather me 70 men from the Jewish people. Now Moshe has a problem. How do you figure out the math? Amar Moshe, Ketzad Esa. How am I going to do this? Ever Shishimi call Shevet. If I pick six from each tribe, and there's, I have to have equal representation from the tribes. Well, 6 times 12, Nimtzu comes out, Shayim Sam. There's two extra. Ever chamisha chamisha because Shevet, if I take 5 from every tribe, nimtza sarchasim, there's 10 missing. So what am I going to do? So what I'm going to do is ever shisha mishevet zeh, and if I take 6 from certain tribes, vechamisha mishevet zeh, and 5 from a different tribe, in which you'll take 6 from 10 tribes and 5 from 2 tribes initially, hareini matal kina ben eshvar, I'm going to cause jealousy. How come we're getting to get the same amount? Yes. Ma'asa, what did he do? Came up with a great solution. Berer Moshe Shisha, he picked out 6. He chose 6 elders from every tribe. So he brought 72 people. Vehevi, and he brought Shivim Ushnaim Pitkim, 72 lots, like pieces of paper, whatever. Al Shivim Kosav Zakein. On 70 of them, he wrote the word Zakein, elder, meaning you made it. Ushnaim, but 2 of the plots, he left blank. Bolalon, he mixed them up. Vinasan Bakalfi, put them in a box. And then he said, what? Amarlan, he spoke to all 72 guys. Says, Bo, come. Utlu pitkeim, take your lot out. Pretty simple. Call me Shalabiyado Zokain. When you pulled out and you got Zokain, Amar Moshe says, okay. Kvar Kidesh Choshamayim. Hashem has already sanctified you. You're one of the 70. Misha'ala biyara chalak, the one who got the blank paper, he said, Hamakom lo chavitz, Hashem doesn't want you. Ani masach, what can I do for you? And therefore, Eldad and Medad were the two who were left over. The two left over from the box. They weren't there. Now, but look, well, wait a minute. Not so simple. It's not exactly like that. Look what they say. It says there were 2 of them left. It says 2 remained. What's it mean to them? Two lots remained in the box. Elder made it, they passed. They said, you know what? Let's make it simple. We're not interested. Because they didn't draw lots, they were afraid they would be rejected. So the lots intended for them remained in the box. That's what it means. Elder made it remained in the box. The two blank lots were drawn by two of the other 70 elders, and the two lots remaining in the box had elder written in them. However, they were unaware of this. In other words, they said, we're afraid, we don't want to be embarrassed, we resign, we're not going to be involved. Now, 70 guys came, 68 got sucking, two got blanks. But wait a minute, if you're blanks, but the other two don't want to go. So you got the 70 come, and Eldad and Medad, it means two remained behind, were left over, meaning they left their names over in the box. That's what it means. All right, so that's the idea. So that's how we came out with the 70. Now, I know you're going to ask, well, the ones that said blank, yeah, they shouldn't be. But Eldad made it, they resigned.
So but God said, you weren't so, I didn't want you to be honest.
Yeah, but once they withdrew, the whole thing became a moot point. Became a moot point. We'll have to deal with their electors.
Did they withdraw?
They were renegade electors.
Did they withdraw before they picked the lots?
I don't understand what you're saying. They withdraw before they...
They withdraw, but they say...
Oh, withdraw. I didn't hear you.
Did they withdraw before...
I don't know exactly when.
There's no point in picking.
I'm. You know what? Maybe when it was their turn, they withdrew.
Hopefully they were from different tribes.
I don't know. Anyway, that's... But they made it. Once two guys withdraw, then, you know, I guess when they were the last ones. Maybe they're the last ones, and they saw... You know, when a guy picked his thing, he didn't necessarily go whoopee or they were quiet. I don't know. But anyway, but from this Gemara, it appears not that they drew a lot and they drew blanks. They just said we not want to be involved. Now, where else did we have a lottery of a similar nature? Gemara goes off on a tangent now. Kiyaitz b'davar similarly out to Omer. Before we get to another interpretation, we're going to see another time when there were lots. Now, if you recall, because the Jewish people sinned with the gold, before the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf, who were going to be the Kohanim?
Firstborn.
Every mishpacha would have a Kohen. All right? Would have a Kohen. Sinned with a golden calf, I said, forget it, only the tribe of Levi. I'm sorry, Levites. Not Kohen, Levites. Sorry. So the Levite service went now to the tribe of Levi. So now what had to be is all the firstborns had to be redeemed. Had to be redeemed. Well, it was pretty simple redemption. We say this Levi's in your place. This Levi's in your place. Problem was there were too many firstborns than Levites. Right? If you only have only one Levite can exchange with a firstborn. But you had too many firstborns. We'll see how many in a minute. So how are they going to be redeemed? So they would have to give 5 shekels. Now the question is, who has to pay the 5 shekels? Right? In other words, if you're a lucky guy, like most of the firstborns were redeemed by another Levite. But what about those extra few that there's no Levite? So how are they going to decide that? So Moshe had to do the same thing. Here's the number. There are 22,000 Levites, but 22,273 firstborns. So 273 would have to pay 5 shekels to the temple to be relieved of their sanctity. How did Moshe come up with this 273? So the same methods. This is what it is. So the Pasuk says, V'lokachto chameshes chameshes shkom agos. You'll take 5 shekels for each man that does not have a Levite to redeem him. So Amar Moshe. So Moshe said, "Ketzad Eslam, how am I going to work it out with the Jewish people? Im Omer lo, if I tell one of them, Tain lecha pidyon lecha, give me 5 shekels for your redemption, v'tzei in the go. Here, you give me 5. If I just randomly pick 237 guys, Yomer li, they're going to say, wait a minute, Kfar Padam 11. No, I have a Levite redeemed me. Why am I not redeemed by the Levites? So Ma'a, so what did he do? This is a big job now. Heavy, you know, 70 lots is one thing. But heavy, Esri, Mushnaim, Alpine, Pitkin, he took 22,000 lots. Because only wrote on them, Ben Levi. He wrote the word Levi on it. That means the Levi has redeemed you. Val Shalosha, Vishivi, Mumasayim, on 273, Kosav Aleim, he wrote the words Chamisha Shkolim, 5 shekels. Okay. Balalan, he mixed them all up. Venosim Bakalfi put them in a box. Amalam, he said to them, Tlu, Pitkam, take your lot. Mishal Biyotah ben Levi, whoever got the word Levi, Amaloy says, Kfar Batcha ben Levi, a Levite has already redeemed you. Mishal Biyotah Chamisha Shkolim, Amaloy, one who got the one that said 5 shekels, he said to him, Tain Pitgatcha, give your redemption, and say, and go. So that is all on the first interpretation. What does it mean that we're two were left behind? We said it was Eldad and Medad. Their names remained in the box, and we just went on a tangent, showed a different idea of doing a lottery. Reb Shimon says, no, let's learn that pasuk differently. The two of them remained, not referring to the box, but Shimon Omer, let's go back and say, when two men remained in the camp, it means b'machane nishtairu, they remained in the camp, not in the box. The first fellow is their names remained in the box. Their lots were in the box. They didn't pick. No, it says they remained in the camp. So what does it mean they remained in the camp? He means, B'shash, Amalekadosh Baruch Moshe, when Hashem said to Moshe, Asfali Shivim Ish, gather for me 70 men. Amru, Eldad and Medad, Eldad said to Medad, Ein anru'im lo segedula, we are not worthy for this greatness. And therefore, they chose to remain in the camp. Now, both Shimon and the Tanakhama, or Shimon's kind of agree that Eldad and Medad chose to remain in the camp. The difference with them is that according to the Tanakhama, they did not go to draw lots for fear of being rejected. Whereas if Shimon holds that their motivation was humility. In other words, why did they not get into the contest? First opinion says they were too embarrassed. They were afraid they'd be embarrassed. This one says there's nothing to do with that. They're just humble people. And they just want to be involved to begin with. So Tanakhama says that Eldad and Medad remained in the box because the two lots left in the box, which were intended for Eldad and Medad, had Eldad written on them. Shimon however holds that the lots intended for Eldad and Medad were blank. There, in his view, the verse means simply that Eldad and Medad remained in the camp. Okay, so it's interesting how the commentaries are saying that's what these rabbis are meaning over here. But either way, I mean, they still did 72 lots. They just chose not to because of their humility. And fine. So now, continues. So now, if you're doing it for humility as opposed to being afraid, now you deserve a reward. You're showing honest humility. You don't think you're worthy. Zomar Kodesh Baruch Hashem says, Ho alumiyatatam atzchem, since you made yourself small, Hareini mosif kudos, I will give greatness to you on top of their greatness. I'm going to make you greater than the other 70 guys. Uma gedula hosivam, what greatness did he add unto them? Shanavim kulam nisnav pasku. The prophets, meaning these 70 elders, remember Hashem brought the divine presence over them. Over all of them. All 72, first the divine presence came over them. Then they're going to draw the lots. When the divine presence came over them, it was only for a limited time. And then it stopped. The divine presence stopped. Okay? But guess what? But Vehem Nisamba, when they started to prophesize, the low Pascha, they didn't stop. And that was the present Hashem gave them. He let them continue on to be prophets when everybody else stopped. Now, through discussing that they were prophets, so now we'd like to know, Umanevu and Nisnabu, and what prophecy did they say? And there's a big machlokas here, different opinions over here. Opinion number one is, Amru, they said the prophecy is, Moshe will die, and Yeshua machnis es Yisrael la'aretz, and Yeshua will bring the people into Eretz Yisrael. Opinion number one, Tanakhama. Opinion number two, Abba Chanin says, Amr Shum Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer, Now remember, this whole story of picking the Sanhedrin, this came in the wake of what incident? Just didn't come in the middle of the blue. Moshe starts complaining, you know, I can't take all these people. He says, okay, I'll give you 70 guys. But so what was the story that prompted this? Remember? The Jews complained and we wanted meat. Parshas Balosra. It's meat. Give us some meat already. I can't take these people anymore. So Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a Sanhedrin. Here's 70. But then the quails came. So now the prophecy is regarding Al Iske Slove Misavi, concerned the quails that they prophesied. Okay? And they said like this: Ali Salav, arise, birds. Ali Salav, arise, birds. Okay, this everything out here in this footnote I already just spoke outside. So therefore, according to you, they prophesied not about the more distant future, about Moshe dying, Yeshua taking them in, but they prophesied that the birds are coming. In other words, the birds had not yet come. Hashem didn't say exactly what he's going to do. They prophesied. He says, listen, Chevra, you're complaining? Guess what? Birds are going to start coming. That was the prophecy. And then sure enough, shortly afterwards, the birds came. So it's one is shot as a long-term prophecy that in the future Moshe will die and he will not take the Jews in, but Yeshua will. Then one says, bring on the birds. That's two opinions. Opinion number three, Rav Nachman Amar, Al Iske Gog Umog, they were prophesying about the war of Gog Umogog. That will be the final attack before Mashiach comes. Interesting. Shenemar, how do we know that? Says Ezekiel, it says, Ko Amar Hashem Elohim, so says Hashem, Hatohu Asher Dibarti Biyamim Kadmonim, are you Gog, the one whom I spoke about in ancient days, that I spoke about already, you see, Biyad Avadai, in the hands of my prophets, Nevi Israel, the prophets of Israel, Hanavim Biyamim, the prophets in those days, Shnoim, two of them, Lavios Galehem, okay, to bring about to you, I'm sorry, not Shana, prior to those days, years ago, that I was going to bring against you. So, it says Shana means years. So they say, Altikra Shana, don't read it as Shanim, years. Ella what? Shnaim. I already had it prophesied through two people. Right? So therefore, are you Gog, the one whom I spoke of in ancient days, through my servants, two prophets of evil prophesied? When did you ever have two prophets prophesying at the same time? You never had two prophets prophesying at the same time. Here you have it. Haviyomer, I would say, Eldad Umeidad. It was Eldad Umeidad. Simultaneously, they prophesized about this. Okay? Now, where to get all this idea? Now, look, all three views concerning the content are derived from the fact it said they were left over Vayisnabu Bamecha. They prophesized in the camp. The first view interprets the camp as an allusion to Yeshua, who was eventually to lead the camp of Israel. I mean, obviously, they prophesied in the camp. Where else could they be prophesying, if not in the camp? So the word the camp is extra. So it must be part of the prophecy. So according to the first opinion, they prophesied about the camp. Who would be the leader of the camp? According to Rav Elazar, it's a reference to the quails that would soon fall around the camp. Rav Nachman says the camp signifies the army of Gog, which is called an army, is called a camp. Okay. So that's second opinion. And now with the three opinions as to what prophecy they did say, because their humility. Okay, now let's go back to that last statement, that the 70 of them prophesied and stopped, and they continued. Amar Mar, let's go back to the statement of the master, who said, Reb Shimon said, Kol HaNaviim Kulam Nisnabnu, all the 70 prophets prophesied for a limited time and then stopped. V'hein Nisnab L'Pasku, they prophesied and did not stop. Now here's the question. How do we know that the 70 stopped prophesying? I know they stopped. Maybe everybody continued. Well, if you want to say Eli, maybe go to see if it says Vayisnabu, it says about Eldad and Medad. Oh, I'm sorry, about the regular prophets. It says Vayisnabu, and they prophesied, Velo Yosofu, and they didn't stop. Okay, let's look at that pasuk. It says, Vayered Hashem Banon, Hashem came down in a cloud, Vayedaber Elov, and he said to him, Vayotzol min haruach asher elov, he increased some of the spirit was from him, Vayitin al-shiv mishkan, he gave it to the 70 prophets, Vayi kenoach alem haruach, and when the spirit rested on Vayisnab, when they prophesied, now here's the problem, how you translate these two words now, Velo Yosofu, now, they did not Yosofu. You have to know, what does that mean, lo yosofu? Here the English says they didn't prophesize again. So now the Gemara is saying, well, if you want to say that's what it means, Ile, but if you want to say they stopped, Mirchsi, Vayisnabu, Velo, Yosafu, they prophesied but did not continue. That's what you want to say. They prophesied, Velo Yosafu, and they did not continue. Elamayata, wait a minute, if you're going to say Yosafu means continue, that's a hard way to translate that word. Because let's look at Sinai when they heard the sound of the shofar. What did it say? Kol gadol, a great noise, velo yosaf. So what does that mean? A great voice that did not continue? No, it meant it didn't stop. It means velo yosaf, it didn't stop. So you're going to say, hachinam glo asif, does it mean to say it did not continue? That's not true, it kept on going. Ella, what you got to say, we say by the Torah, Ella de lo posak, rather de lo posaku, rather meaning is it did not stop. That's by Sinai. So that should be the same thing by the prophets. It didn't stop, so that can't be the proof. They didn't stop, they went on for a while. So, but how do we know they stopped then? Ella hocheksif, it says like this, Vayisnabu, and they prophesized, Hosam ksiv misnabnim, over there, it says misnabdim by Eldar Meirad. It says they are prophesizing. Again, go back. By the 70, it said vayisnabu. They had prophesized in the past tense. Past tense. But when we talk about Eldar Meirad, two psukim later, it says misnabdim. They are presently prophesizing. It said when Yeshua came, and said Elmadar are misnabdim, they are present. That's maybe you want to say that. It said the 70 prophesized past tense. Elder made it are prophesizing, which means adai misnabdim v'hochim. They continue to prophesize. Okay, that is the proof. Okay, so that's how we know they kept going and the others had stopped. Now we go back to the three opinions now. What did they prophesize? So we're going to ask questions, a couple of different questions on different opinions. Bishlema, all is good and well, Amandam or Moshe Meis, the one that says that Moshe died. Then the rest of the pasuk goes on. Because what happened? Yeshua runs to Moshe. What does he say to them? Heinrich says, where's my thing? Adoni Moshe, kill him. My master, destroy them. Now you understand why he'd want them destroyed. So Yeshua comes and says, listen, he says you're going to die. They say you're going to die. Go kill him. Makes sense. But Elamand Amar, the one who says that what? Hanach Tav, the other two opinions, that says it's talking about Slav, talking about Gog and Magog, my Adoni Moshe Kilaim. Why should he say, go kill them? It has nothing to do with Moshe's honor. Right? That's the question. More answers, the Lav Orachar. It wasn't proper conduct for them to prophesize in Moshe's presence, period. In other words, if God gives you some prophetic vision, keep your mouth shut. Because guess what? Moshe's here. You don't exactly. Look, Agmar says, the Havli, that's just like Ketamid Amar Lech Levi Rabba. It's like a student. So you don't prophesy in front of the biggest prophet. So that's why, so now that's good why, no matter which opinion, he says, kill them. Okay, now we try another question, a different opinion. This could, the other two opinions about the Slav and the, what do you call it, the Gog and Magog, that's why Moshe says, what does Moshe respond to Yeshua? He says, Mi Yutain, would that all Hashem's nations were prophets. It was, I wish they would prophesize. Well, that makes sense if it doesn't insult Moshe. Elaman Damer Moshe Meis, but once Moshe died, is that something he said? Oh, I wish everybody would say I was going to die. That doesn't seem to make sense. So the answer is Lo Simu Kame. Yeshua had not finished relating the incident to Moshe. He just said, hey, you know they're prophesizing. He didn't yet say what they were prophesizing. Kill them. So let them all prophesize. Then only after said, yeah, but they're prophesying you're going to die. So in other words, he answered, let them all prophesize before he gave them the message. Okay, now one last thing. What did Yeshua mean when he said, my kill lo aim? What does Yeshua mean, destroy them? What does it mean, destroy them? What kind of response? Which is give them the exi whammo and just kill them? I mean, let's put it, is this something that you deserve a death penalty for? What are they, Machal Shabbos? False prophets? No, it was true prophets. What? Why should they be killed? So Yeshua could not have meant destroy them by kill them. Can't be. They didn't do a sin that was a capital crime. So what does it mean destroy them? So what he meant to say, Amar Leh, he says, you know, Yeshua said to Moshe, Hatel Emsachem, give them the burden of the community. Give them some community work. Put them on the board of trustees, whatever. But they can't. They only could have 70. Behang, call in Maleim, and they will perish of their own accord. Yeshua did not seek Eldon Maidan's demise, but the cessation of their powers of prophecy. He suggested that they be encumbered with the responsibility of the community. Since that would certainly cause them distress, they would no longer be receptive to the divine prophecy, for the divine presence rests upon someone only that is happy. Give him a job. Give him a communal job. We're going to put you in front of the tuition committee and the school, and that's all. And then they're going to be unhappy, because when you work for the community, you're not always going to be unhappy. And then they won't prophesy. And it's basically stop them from prophesizing. So that's what it means. Cease them. Cease them by giving them community work. And that is the two dots, perfect place.